Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we're talking about the church and this good news of Jesus Christ. And as a body of believers, that's what we center our lives around. The good news of Jesus Christ, the fact that he died to take away our sins once and for all. And then through his death, through that shed blood, he ratified a new covenant. And it's this new covenant that we live in today. He was buried. That signifies an end to the old. And then he was raised again to life, which signifies, you know, a new way, this new covenant, yes, this new creation, this new order. And that's what defines the Church of Jesus Christ. And from God's vantage point, when he looks down on this planet, he sees this living organism, this body called the church, that's made up of every person who has named the name of Jesus Christ, who has been born again of the Spirit of God. That's the group that makes up the body of Christ. Yes. Now, we have local expressions of that, local assemblies. And I think when we think of the church, when that word is used, we think of these local assemblies, and rightfully so. That's what we know. That's what our experience is. I grew up in the First United Methodist Church of Marietta, and we had a tight-knit family of believers there. Not everybody who attended that church were believers, but quite a number were. And then, you know, on another corner, there was the Baptist Church and the Presbyterian Church, and those were the three main ones in my little town when I grew up. So when we think of church, we think of those local expressions, those local assemblies. And I know you listening probably attend a church each week, maybe on Sunday, maybe a Saturday night service, maybe you're involved in a small group, and you have an opinion about that church. You think it's a healthy church, you think it's an unhealthy church. One of those, or somewhere in between. Years ago, when I lived in Louisville, Kentucky, and was there as a part of our ministry outreach, I met a guy named Tom Rayner, and Tom was a PhD student at Southern Seminary and a banker, and just an incredible guy, and I really cherished our friendship. Today, he is the CEO of Lifeway, the Christian bookstores, yes, and they also have a research wing as well. They do some phenomenal work, and they produced a survey and sent it out to quite a number of people and asked some questions about the overall health of the church. And those who commented and responded in saying their church was unhealthy, they distilled down 12 things that constituted an unhealthy church. And I'm just going to read a couple of those. Don't want to go through the list. You know, church, when we assemble together, we see ourselves as a family. Yes. So that's true whether it's a healthy church or an unhealthy church. We like the camaraderie. We like the friendship. We like the fellowship. A lot of times people put that as the number one reason that they go to church, is, yep, for fellowship. I think that's a wrong reason. Yes. I think the number one reason we should be involved with one another is because we corporately are joined to one another through the gospel message. It's for the gospel, for the sake of the gospel. Says one of the characteristics of a unhealthy church are that they are weak in the areas of discipleship and evangelism. You know, the mission of the church is to spread the word.
Yeah.
I mean, that truth has been posited in us. We hold on to that, but we're not to hold on to it and keep it away from everybody else. We're to hold it as heralds of it so that we can proclaim it mm-hmm. to others and to advance the kingdom. But most unhealthy churches are weak when it comes to discipleship and evangelism. And I think that's such an important point. We were talking to Pete Briscoe yesterday about the mission of the church, and he basically made the statement, the mission of the church is the message. It is the gospel of Jesus yes. Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and teaching people how to walk by faith in those great truths. What does it mean to you on a daily basis that Christ took away your sins? What does it mean to you on a daily basis that Jesus Christ is alive and living in you? And I think the reason that we're weak in discipleship and evangelism is because we're really weak on the message.
Yes.
We know the verbiage of it. We can quote the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, but we haven't asked the why questions. Why did Christ have to die for me? Why did Christ have to take away my sins? Why did Christ have to shed his blood to ratify this new covenant and bring it into full effect? Why? We don't ask those questions. We kind of know the message just as a fact, but we don't know it, the spirit of it, and we haven't really embraced it. We don't know why Jesus was raised from the dead, other than maybe that proves that he was God. So the reason I think sometimes churches or groups are weak in discipleship and evangelism is because they really haven't explored the depths of the message. And that's what we hope to do through this Basic Gospel Radio broadcast, is to explore the depths of the message of Jesus Christ. You know, we think that's an elementary first grade thing, and we get it, we move on to something else. But that truth just continues to expand into every area of life. And if we just look at it as a first grade fact to learn, boy, we're going to miss the dynamic of it when we start to contemplate all the other big issues of life that are out there.
And if you were a member of a church where you decided that you folks were weak in discipleship and evangelism, the very last thing you would need to do is to start a program for discipleship and a program for evangelism. You don't do that.
Right.
You dive into the gospel, and then people can't contain it. And
absolutely.
It happens organically.
Yes, indeed. So let's get a hold of this message.
Yes.
Let's embrace it. Let's take hold of this eternal life that is ours in Christ Jesus and allow Christ to do his work in and through us. That's when we're going to see the dynamic of the body in action.
Yes.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. We invite you to join us as well. 1-800-677-9377. 1-800-677-9377. If you have a question about a particular passage in the Bible, something about your church group, maybe you're involved in a healthy church or an unhealthy church. Let's talk about it on today's broadcast. We would love to hear from you. A program note for next week. We are actually moving.
Yes, we are.
Basic Gospel is moving from our current location to another location not too far from here. We are streamlining all of our offices and that sort of thing. We're building a new studio. We're so excited about this because we really want to be the best radio ministry that we can, and we want to serve you, our listeners, in the best possible way that we can. And this move is one step that will enable us to do that, will help us streamline all of our attention, energy, and effort in delivering this gospel message passionately, clearly, practically, so that you can grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. So next week, we're going to be tearing down this studio, rebuilding a brand new studio that we're so excited about. So we have some special programming for you next week. Dave Bish, a pastor in Pennsylvania, will be on the air with us Tuesday. Don't miss that broadcast. Dave is a dynamic communicator, and he thinks outside the box when it comes to church. And I think you'll be very encouraged by his conversation there. We also have two special teaching editions next week, the How-To of Faith. when we've surveyed our listeners and asked questions about some things that were important to them, this topic of, well, how do you live by faith kept coming up. And that's the way of the church. We individually live by faith in the resurrected Jesus. As a body of believers, we trust in the resurrected Christ to live his life through us. So two dynamic programs next week that will answer the question of the how-to of faith, give you some practical handles to grab hold of and help you see how Jesus Christ is maturing your faith every single day of your life. I think you'll be very encouraged by that. So that's all next week. But in the meantime, we have plenty of open lines now. 1-800-677-9377. Let's go to Calgary, Alberta, and talk to our good friend Miles. Hi, Miles.
Hi, Bob. Good afternoon, everyone. Bob, what I want to talk about is how under the new covenant, and especially as you presented basic gospel, it's all about Jesus, that we are invited to question, and I would say go so far as to say we are invited to question everything in our worldview. As you may have heard, we've had some serious issues in Canada in the last week or so with respect to radicalized Islamists in support of the Islamic State, the war that's going on there, and two brave Canadians, Warrant Officer Patrice Vincent and Corporal Nathan Cirillo, have been murdered here in this insurrection. And so what I just wanted you to talk about is how we, under the new gospel, our new covenant, are invited to trust, as you described previously in the call to me, to be bold, to ask people, ask of non-believers, questions borrowed from the Bible, such as, where are you, who do you say Jesus is, and is the Bible true? And that basic gospel is very complementary to democracy.
Well, the idea of the gospel, the truth of the gospel, it will hold up under any scrutiny. I think sometimes we don't question the gospel because, or we don't want people to question the gospel because we don't really have a good solid defense. We don't know that it's going to hold water, that it's going to hold up under the intense questioning of the world. But just history itself proves that it does. I mean, the gospel of Jesus Christ is still vital and relevant and life-changing today as it was 2,000 years ago. I mean, people are still talking about Jesus, and the critics are still raising questions about Jesus. Who is he? Who is the real Jesus? So I don't think we have anything to fear when it comes to the doctrines of Christianity. We don't have anything to fear as far as Jesus is concerned. People can ask questions, and they can take a deep dive into all the whys and the wherefores, and they're going to come out the other end with a solid understanding of what Jesus had to say. They're going to see that it is truth, and we've certainly seen that through history. There have been so many skeptics that have sought to disprove Christianity, and in their research, they've come to know Christ personally as their Lord and Savior.
Yes. And one of the headlines that we've seen in our newspapers of late, in the last couple of days, is that, you know, the heart of Canadian democracy was attacked. And I'd like people to think a little differently and think that the heart of democracy can be in our hearts, and that can be and is congruent to be dependent upon the message of Jesus and the Bible.
Well, Miles, I think that's a good point.
Yeah, it is.
What we need to really look at is the fact that God has put us into his kingdom. We're born again into the kingdom of God. So we have a king. There's not really a democracy when it comes to Christianity. Jesus Christ is Lord and God. He is our sovereign. And so he's the head of this body. We respond to his initiative. And we know that that's a good thing to do because he's the only benevolent king that's ever been.
Could be.
That's right. So we can trust that. So there's a different way of this kingdom than what we can see out there in the world. I think democracy is probably the best that man can do, but as we see, it's weak as well. There are a lot of flaws inherent in that system. As much as we try to protect against those, they are still there. You can't go all the way free enterprise. Why? Because they're sinful men leading these businesses. And we've seen what that looks like. And that's why there's been rules and regulations to govern how business operates. But we certainly can't put all of the power and authority on government, because that's going to be corruption there as well. We've seen that. So within this systems, there are checks and balances to keep us moving in a somewhat right direction. But there's always going to be issues. There's always going to be concerns. There's always going to be swings of the pendulum. But thank goodness that we're involved in another kingdom as believers, the kingdom of God with Jesus Christ as King, as our Lord, our Savior, our Sovereign, the one who is going to make all things new, is going to make all things right, who is going to rule and reign with justice and grace and mercy.
Exactly. And it makes sense that I'm now realizing that I'm not of this world. And my questions have been answered by the singularity, which is Jesus. But what I'm now in this realm, this world, I'm concerned about you or the non-believer being able to ask their questions openly and freely, and as they may, come to the answer themselves as to what truth is. And I like what Richard once said. At times, you are free to, say, here, we'll put the Bible away. Let's just talk about your intrinsic worth to ask questions.
Absolutely.
And bring the Bible out. Absolutely. As necessary.
Absolutely. I think that's those were good words from Richard.
Well, thank you. But, yeah, there's.
Thank you very much, fellas. And, it was really touching that. There was a Pittsburgh-Philadelphia hockey game.
Okay. I don't know what you mean by that.
Sorry. Well, they sang Old Canada.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, in honor of what
yes.
was. Yeah.
Yes. That was
yeah.
very much appreciated.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very touching indeed. Well, thank you, Miles, as always.
And
we love
we're stronger. To hear from you. We're stronger together. Two strong democracies.
Yes, indeed. Yes. We are.
Yeah. The question came up a long time ago during my struggle to find just exactly who Jesus was, that what did I think truth was? And whatever I thought it was, how was it working for me? And I had to come to the conclusion that for all of this talk about freedom, I was not free. And until Jesus became real and his truth, that's what set me free. And that takes so much pressure off. I can go through this life in a completely different way than I used to go. And as horrible as these particular events are, Ebola sicknesses, attacks on the Canadian Parliament, you respond differently because you know that you're free in Christ, regardless whether I'm killed, whether I live to a ripe old age, whether I go to prison. At whatever point of life I am, God's grace is sufficient for that moment, so I don't have to worry about the moments in the future, because his grace is sufficient right now and right now and right now.
Absolutely. Well, Miles, thank you so much for your call today. We certainly appreciate it. It's kind of interesting what he was talking about, what you were mentioning there. As a body of believers, There's this new covenant that binds us together. There's something else, this grace and truth. You know, Jesus is full of grace and truth, that we as a body are a body of believers that stand on truth.
Yes.
The truth about ourselves and the truth about God as revealed to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So we should be transparent. We don't need to hide. Why? Because we had to be saved by grace.
Yes.
We were a mess. I was a mess. I was so kind of distraught as a person. I had no idea what direction I wanted to go on, what purpose in life was all about. I knew none of that. I just felt kind of isolated and alone, trying to figure it out on my own. That was truth. And when you recognize truth, then you recognize a need for someone else to come along outside of you who is smarter than you, better than you, that can help you. And we see that in Jesus. He's not just a someone who is smarter and better. He's God, and he has the solution. And that's the announcement of the gospel, that unto you a Savior has been born. Jesus is here. He's alive, and he can meet us where we are, but we need to recognize truth, not only about him, but about ourselves. And that's what we stand on as a body of believers.
Yes. Yeah, we've got a question here that I think dovetails really nicely into this conversation from a guy named Mark. It says, and I think his answer is in his question, he just doesn't realize it. Why does the Bible say in one verse that whosoever believes in the heart and confesses with the mouth that Jesus is the Son of God shall be saved? Then another verse says, not everyone that cries, Lord, Lord, shall enter, but those who do the will of my Father. What is the will of the Father? It confuses me when I try to put these two verses together.
Well, the will of the Father is simply to believe on the Son.
Yes.
So what is God's will for you? It's for you to believe Jesus Christ. I love what John wrote. I mean, that's the theme of the Gospel of John, basically. Here's Jesus. Here's who he claimed to be. Here are his exact words. Why did he say all that? So that you could have life.
Yes.
And the only way to have life is by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in verse 31 of chapter 20, John wrote this, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. So there was all types of miraculous signs and wonders that Jesus did. John certainly didn't write each and every one down, but those that he did write about, he said, were written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. We as a body of believers are those who have life in Jesus' name. We have looked at the evidence. We have heard about Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. That has stirred us to believe in him. And when we did, we received life in his name. Now we have the wonderful privilege of sharing that life with others, telling people about Jesus. That's what Basic Gospel is all about. It's a radio program where Jesus Christ is the star. He's the one that we talk about. We say every time, Bob Davis always asks questions, what are we going to talk about today? He said, Jesus. Well, wonder if he ever gets tired of us talking about him. And the answer is no. Why? Because he has life, and he wants to give life. And when we ask you to support Basic Gospel, that's what we're asking you to do, to help give life to a person dead in sin. How is that going to happen? When a person hears about Jesus, when a person believes in Jesus, when a person receives the life of Jesus, that's how it happens. So help us get that message about Jesus out. Your gifts of $30, $50, $100 connect people to Jesus that brings life to the dead. I can't think of a better investment than that. So come be a part of the Basic Gospel team. Help us communicate this good news. You can find out all the information on how to join with us to be a part of this family of believers at our website, basicgospel.net. Well, we'll look forward to being with you again next week on another edition of Basic Gospel.